Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you in part by Growmark FS. And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Thursday, September 16th. I am your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us here. Day three, the final day of the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota. And we've had a great time here the last couple of days broadcasting live. And great to see a lot of folks up here in the Northern Plains. And happy to have you joining us here once again today for the show. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That's our home on the web. Find all of our streaming sources, social media, and more. It's all there, markettalkag.com. Fairly quiet day in the market trade today. Let's talk about it. Bring in our good friend John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, good afternoon. And, pretty much it just felt like a risk-off day a little bit, quiet, not a whole lot of movement here throughout the trade today. We were kind of just trading right around that unchanged mark all day, it seemed. What are your thoughts overall on the trade for grains on Thursday?
Yeah, actually, pretty quiet day. Considering the run we've had, it's nice to see that we can back off a few cents and kind of at least hold some ground. Now we'll see how the last little trades come out here. But, you know, we have what called 10-day moving average here underneath, or 20-day moving average underneath December corn. That was around this 5:30 window. Seemed to be a magnet to prices all day today as we kind of danced on both sides of that. But again, you got to think how far we've moved now since that low on the report last week. And you know, we put 40 cents into this to the high today. So it's kind of a spot where we can take a little breath. We did have to digest some, you know, off news this morning. Obviously, export sales numbers came out, 230,000 tons on the corn front, pretty small. You know, that's probably what brought a little bit of profit taking, because that demand side is going to still kind of be out there, and we still need to kind of watch that, especially given global prices on the corn side. You know, but, you know, we've seen this rally kind of kick in here for a couple of reasons. We're hearing some questionable returns in some of these early harvest results. We got a lot of chatter about disease pressure in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio based because of the weather. And then basically we got some hot, warm, dry weather coming that's just going to finish this crop off very, very quickly and not have a good, solid, you know, finish to the crop and maybe add a few extra pounds on. So there's some questions whether that crop yield is out there. And again, that's something that's still going to yet to be determined.
Well, and I want to stay on that track a little bit just from what we're hearing, because you know, all summer long, we've talked about this, how the Eastern Corn Belt is going to offset the dryness and the losses in the Western Corn Belt. And as you alluded to, we've heard some yields that were rather disappointing so far in the Eastern Belt. I've heard some yields in the Western Belt that were surprising to some growers, but yet they're not breaking records or anything. So, you know, hypothetically, if we have a short crop in the East compared to what we projected, I would have to think that's going to give us a lot of bullish momentum back into these markets.
You know, very much so. I mean, again, USDA numbers, you looked at them on Friday. We got that little bit of a yield bump on that report here last week. And, you know, again, that was probably some of the strength we've seen come across the entire Corn Belt in that regard, that strength staying in the East. But, you know, when you start bringing some disease pressure in, things like tar spot and stuff of that nature, you know, that's really going to maybe tighten up that picture a little bit more. You know, the other thing, a couple weeks ago here, we just had a spell 4 or 5 days in a row where it was extremely hot, extremely dry. That just seemed to pull the plug on this crop and say, we're done in that Eastern Belt. And then again, didn't allow it to finish out. So, you know, it's going to be something we got to watch here. We obviously still need the demand side of the equation to stay strong. You know, there's a lot of concerns what's happening with the Chinese in terms of buying corn or just our regular importers overall. You know, Argentina corn, Ukraine corn, still a little bit less expensive than the U.S. corn. So we're not seeing a lot of buying, you know, but here, you know, we saw the funds really sell into that report last week. We get a bounce back off that report as the numbers were negative, but maybe not as bad as the market was pricing in. And then we're hearing just some impatience by the funds basically saying, well, okay, we think we got a low in. We want to start owning this now here versus later. And that's why we're seeing some money flow in. You know, it's always nice when you get some negative numbers, then you get a positive reaction out of that. That just tells you things are priced in and the money might you want to start working the other way.
On the soybean side, you know, we got some of those cancellations in, and then we got buying here today. You know, we think about demand, we think about the issues in the Gulf and whatnot, and starting to get some of that reopened. But I don't think any of us were really surprised that China canceled and then bought some more back. But obviously, looking at demand, we're getting into that window where we're really presumably going to see that demand ramp up And it feels like that's going to be another bullish factor in this market trade moving forward as well, if it comes to fruition, what we're expecting.
Yeah, I still like the soybean market going forward. Again, you know, even though the USDA moved the supply side up to 185 million bushels of carryover, that's still extremely tight. You know, we got some factors out there that we just kind of keep an eye on. First off, you know, talking about the Chinese, you know, export sales numbers this week were strong. We had a great crush number in August that came out yesterday with, you know, a solid month of soybean meal exports last month, actually our best August on record. You know, we saw that reflect in the soybean meal prices today. Maybe for once that price can get a little bit over the oil. You know, then the other side of it too, the Chinese are basically, from position wise, they're strongly short this market, and now they're buying beans. So as they buy the beans, they lift their short positions and lock in those gains that they had, you know, cheapening up their costs. Even those cancellations that we got yesterday, they came back, at least the Chinese part of it was purchased back already today. Then on the other side, that's just a little bit front of this market, there is some talk and basically been confirmed that the Chinese picked up 8 to 10 cargoes of Brazilian beans here this week for October delivery. Typically, that's when our window is, but they're concerned about getting supplies, and because of the Gulf, that's kind of, you know, want to make sure they're covering their needs. But they're buying those beans almost $4 or over $4 a bushel higher than the board price is right now. So if they're making those types of transactions, this market knows that it's okay to go ahead and move prices a little bit higher. I'd like to see us close above $13 on the end of the week, and I'd feel a little bit better about that on that November contract. But again, it's just a market that just still has some things working for it that could still be friendly, especially going forward here as we're in that window. You know, if we get that Gulf running, you know, where we're going to be pushing beans out the door pretty quickly.
Well, John Heinberg, our guest today here as we're live for the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota for day number 3. Coming up here, we will talk livestock. Huge up day in the hog market, and cattle were a little more mixed. We'll talk about that. We'll also get John's final thoughts on the market trade. That's coming up next as we continue with Market Talk here live for the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm back after this. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And we're back here on Market Talk. John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on the show. So we're broadcasting live from Fargo, North Dakota, from the Big Iron Farm Show for the third and final day of the show. John, let's flip over to livestock today. A little more action there, at least in the hog market. We saw some spread trading yesterday between that October contract and the rest of the contract months today. Saw some more of that again, it appeared, and then we kind of just took off to the upside here. What do you make of hogs on this Thursday?
Well, we got to look at that hog market. The biggest thing we got to keep an eye on is this difference between the futures market and where the cash market is. You know, typically in months like December and February are running at a premium to the cash market. And right now today, even with the strong move in the October contract, we're still trading $10 under the cash index. You know, in December, it's trading $11 underneath that cash, $20 underneath that cash index. You know, so there's some premium out there that needs to probably tighten up. And, you know, we're seeing the index come down. We're seeing cash market come down. But this futures market's well oversold, especially with the hard push last week. So we got a big reversal today. First off, on those deferred contracts, you know, that's a classic outside bullish reversal on that December contract today. So technically, the market's improved. We had to turn a little bit yesterday in October, and that followed through again today. So the market's improved technically, which could bring us some money flow back in. Now, I'm not saying we're off to the $100 level or anything of that nature. Really good resistance over top that October contract around that $89, $90 area. We just struggled with that before this last break. So don't be shocked. We see some push in there. Biggest key still needs to be, where's the retail demand? What's happening in terms of product movement? And we have seen that maybe start to turn the corner the last couple of days and start working those carcass values a little bit higher, which will help add some buying power into that pork market if that continues.
And we watch weekly export sales, and we've been watching to see if China's a buyer of pork. And if I remember right, I believe they were on that report today buying a little bit, John. I don't remember how much it was, but I know they weren't the top buyer of pork here on the weekly sales report.
Yeah, they were pretty minimal. I believe it was about 1,500 metric tons. Not a lot in terms of the buying power there, which is disappointing after a good week last week. One thing, though, they are going to be start bringing some pork out of reserves. They're going to be starting to stockpile. Pork prices in China are extremely low, and that's something that they want to start moving some more product in this window. So maybe they get a little bit more active in the market here, just to continue to build their stockpiles and reserves. You know, like I said, we saw them purchase about 15,000 tons last week. This week, they're on the sidelines. So we'll have to see how things kind of shake out there, at least in terms of that export front. I think longer term, we'll be watching for that. You know, plus also, we're also going to start looking at some more numbers here. Where are we going to be for hogs going into the end of the year, into next year? Quarterly hogs and pigs numbers coming up here again at the end of the week, next week. So we'll start seeing some numbers there, as well as those cattle on feed numbers coming out as well next week.
John, what about the cattle side? We were a little bit of a mixed bag there today. You know, live cattle were lower. We saw some strength in feeder cattle, a little bit mixed, I'd say at least. But what are your thoughts on this cattle market? We had that JBS fire. You know, we've had a lot of things, a lot of news in this cattle market. But it just seems like we're kind of going back to being sluggish right now.
You know, the cattle market is still pointing downward for me, at least at this time frame. You know, we still got a lot of premium out there that we can take off. You know, you go look at the two different markets. You go look at hogs. We got about $11 from October to December. That, to me, tells me this market wants to lift higher, at least in those deferred contracts. Where the cattle market were the exact opposite. We got a $5 premium from December to October. So that puts a little bit of a slippery slope involved here. The cash market, again, steady basically this week. Retail values were down fairly strong last night, as well as, again, midday today. So that just keeps the selling pressure in that market. Even though we had that little pop and recovery around that JBS fire, that was just more of a technical trade where people tried to jump in and wash this thing out, thinking it was like the fire we had here a couple of years ago. And it wound up the next day they were going back on the line. So people sort of ran right out of those positions immediately, and that's why we saw the whipsaw effect that we saw there. You know, right now I'm still a little concerned. I did not like that close today in December cattle under 129. Again, with that premium over to October, just feels like we're on a bit of a slippery slope unless we see something really turn fundamentally to maybe bring some money flow into that market. So still cautious, still love the long term given the cattle numbers, and maybe the cattle on feed report next week might be our turning point. But I'm starting to look out at those calls out there in April and June and starting to get those in for people who are going to have cattle in that window to get some paper over top those cattle with, you know, with a hopeful pushback that we can get some good sales in and then keep that top side open.
John, on the outside markets, it felt like a little bit of a risk-off day there on the broader commodities, the stock market. Any thoughts with what we're seeing in the outside markets and how that's affecting our ag trade?
Yeah, you know, biggest focus for me has been what's going on in the energy market, and keep an eye on crude oil. You know, crude oil was softer at the end, the start of the day, and now it's starting to get a little bit again. Good, strong move there yesterday. You know, we got these energy stocks really starting to lift the whole commodity sector. You know, demand continues to be something that we're watching grow, and now we're really focusing on the supply side. You know, and today is one of the first down days we've had in natural gas. That price was pushing to 8-year highs, and again, reflecting some of the supply-demand issues that is facing that market. It could be one of those markets we're really going to have to watch, especially from the standpoint of heating costs as well as the industrial uses for natural gas. You know, it's a whole other topic to spend another time on, too, but the impact of that in terms of those fertilizer costs for our producers. So those energy markets are definitely something I'm keeping a close eye on. stock market's going to do what it needs to do based on the amount of money flow that's in and out. But those energy markets right now are something that look like they got something into them here as we move into the fall.
John, great insight as always. Any other final thoughts you have for us today on Market Talk?
You know, people keep asking me today regarding corn, what should we be doing? You know, if you got those bushels, you're going to be selling this fall. You don't have anything underneath. This market still is dealing with, you know, supply-demand picture. We don't know what the numbers are going to be. Make sure you're getting those supplies locked in, those numbers, those bushels that you don't have a home for here this fall. You know, we got some good value on the board. I've told some few guys to move a few bushels here today and reward this rally. Keep those puts out there. They're fairly cheap and inexpensive. Just make sure you're playing the safe side of the risk card here going into harvest, because again, all it takes is one black swan event or another number that jumps up out of expectations, and this market's still got some room to sell off very quickly on the technical side. Just look what's happened in cattle and hogs, and you can see that type of technical swoon regardless of the fundamentals.
John, producers need to reach out to you and the team at Total Farm Marketing, get a little advice on what they're doing with their marketing. What's the best way to do that?
Again, love to chat with them all anytime they want. Give me a call, 800-334-9779, or shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, don't forget that website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great resources and information out there for the producers.
John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
And again, that's John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we'll have final thoughts. We'll look at some of the top ag headlines of the day. We'll recap the market some more. That's on the way next here as we continue with Market Talk.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to OLI.org.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
And we're back here on Market Talk, live from the Big Iron Farm Show in Fargo, North Dakota. Day number three as we wrap things up in a busy 3 days here in the Northern Plains, getting to catch up with a lot of farmers and ranchers up here and getting to see a lot of different things at the Big Iron Farm Show this year. It's been great weather, been a lot of fun here at the show. Wrapping things up here today, final thoughts, look at a few ag headlines. The Department of Agriculture is providing additional time for livestock and poultry producers to apply for the Pandemic Livestock Indemnity Program, or PLIP. Producers who suffered losses during the pandemic due to insufficient access to processing may now apply for assistance for those losses and the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animals through October 12th of this year, rather than the original deadline of September 17th. Payments are based on 80% of the fair market value of the livestock and poultry and for the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animal. Eligible livestock and poultry include swine, chickens, and turkeys. And the latest U.S. drought monitor shows short-term dryness expanding in the Midwest as the western U.S. deals with a prolonged severe drought. The Midwest dryness favors summer crop maturation field work, including harvest efforts and winter wheat planting, but is reducing topsoil moisture. Meanwhile, long-term drought issues persist across the upper Midwest despite some recent rainfall. The Department of Agriculture also reported that topsoil moisture was at least one-third very short to short in each Midwestern state except Wisconsin. Short-term dryness and drought has become more apparent in recent weeks across the southern section of the High Plains, including parts of Kansas and Colorado. Above normal temperatures largely offset any benefit from patchy rainfall across Northern California and the interior Northwest. Meanwhile, USDA reported that at least one half of the acreage devoted to rangeland and pasture was rated in very poor to poor condition in 8 of the 11 western states. A couple of stories of agriculture we're following here today. Again, markets were fairly quiet, fairly mixed. Thanks to John Heimberg for being our guest today on the show from Total Farm Marketing. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a discussion with David Widmar from Agricultural Economic Insights AEI.ag. He will join us. David always has great insight. I'm sure we'll talk China, trade, and much more. That's coming up tomorrow here on Market Talk. We'll be back in the studio coming up tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here today for Market Talk on this Thursday, September 16th. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great afternoon.